This episode is brought to you by Entrust Data Card, now offering a webinar series on creating more secure online interactions with your citizens while broadening the range of services that you can offer using strong identity authentication and digital signing technologies. Learn more at entrustdatacard.com. Welcome to AnvaCast, bringing news, information, and expertise to the Anva community. Here's your host, Ian Grossman. Enjoy the show.
Welcome back, everybody, to the AnvaCast. On this episode of the AnvaCast, we have the director of the Nevada Department of Motor Vehicles, Julie Butler. Julie, welcome to the AnvaCast.
Hi, Ian. Thanks for having me today.
And I think you've been there now for a little bit over a year, if I remember correctly.
Correct. Yeah, about a year and a half.
Now, a lot of folks may not know you're, even though you've only been a little over a year with the DMV, no stranger to state government, and have a very impressive career of public service in Nevada.
Yeah, thank you, Ian. I started my state career in 1994, and I've been with a variety of different state agencies. And most recently, before I joined DMV, I spent 13 years with our Department of Public Safety. So very familiar with the sharing of criminal justice information and inlets network. And so now moving over to the driver side of the house of DMV and AMVA, it's just very exciting to see this part of the operation.
That's fantastic. It's great to see where those missions really overlap. And you've really been a great addition to the AMVA community, having been a number of meetings and calls, and having your contributions there have been extraordinary. And it's one of the reasons we actually wanted to talk to you on the AMVAcast, because of an issue that I think a lot of agencies are tackling right now. And you were one of the first really to share with the community some of the work you're doing in Nevada. And that's really around this topic of workforce management, which we're entering a phase unlike anything we've ever seen before, particularly as it relates to the different decisions of school openings around the country and how that is going to impact our employees' ability to work.
Right. We started looking at this earlier this summer as the schools were contemplating what their school calendars were going to look like. And we started realizing that we had a lot of our employees with school-age children. And, as we were closed down from March till June, and those employees had to homeschool their children, while the schools were closed, they still were responsible for making sure the kids did some schoolwork and some distance learning. And we realized that this was a problem that just isn't going to go away come fall. And we better start looking seriously at how we're going to address this, because we knew it was going to be an issue.
And so I think the first thing you did is you went out and just surveyed your employees.
We did. We used SurveyMonkey, and we sent a very short questionnaire out to our staff. It's eight questions, and we got a 27% response rate, which we thought was actually really good for our survey. And we learned a lot, not only in the survey questions themselves, but in the comments from the employees. That was really where it became a huge eye opener for us, and the impacts that the school decisions are going to have on those families and those children.
What were some of those bigger surprises? I mean, certainly you went into the survey with some assumptions and expectations that anybody watching this conversation of school reopenings would have had, with parents juggling work and kids being at home all day, myself included. I'm certainly in that category. So you had those assumptions. What came out of the survey that you didn't expect?
Really, what came out of the survey that we didn't expect is the number of people that said they would have to quit their jobs or might have to quit their jobs with the Department of Motor Vehicles. We thought it would be maybe a smaller percentage than it is, but we had approximately 21% of our survey respondents say that they will have to reevaluate their employment with DMV. And then another 38% said they might have to. So that's, really, we're looking at 58, 59% of our staff that foresee a workplace issue. And, you know, particularly in our large metropolitan offices in Las Vegas, you know, if we're talking a couple of hundred staff, that's an office closure.
Wow.
So yeah, it's staggering.
So talk me through the next steps. So now you and your team have this data. How do you tackle that? It is staggering numbers. It's huge, you know, the possibility of having to close an office, or even if, you know, in the heartbreaking scenario where people have to choose, what a challenging choice that might be, you couldn't possibly mobilize a recruitment and replacement for personnel of that size.
No, we can't. So right now what we're doing is as a deeper dive and into surveying our specific employees by employee, by division, and asking them specifically, okay, could you work 2 hours a day? Could you work 4 hours a day? Could you work an 8-hour shift? Which days could you work those things, depending on which county the child attends school? Because so we have the other complicating factor. We have 17 counties, is all in Nevada, but they're not all going to be doing the same things. Mm-hmm. Our largest, yep. So 17 different school districts and 17 different schedules. Our largest is Clark County, the Las Vegas metropolitan area, and they are going to 100% online for the fall. So what we're doing now is going by each division and asking each individual employee, okay, your school district is going to this schedule. What hours do you foresee being available to work? We don't have the results of that deeper dive yet. That's going to be next week, I believe, when we will have that information available. And then from there, we will really do the analysis to figure out, should we open extended hours? Should we open and then close for part of the day and then reopen? Should we open longer hours on Saturdays, be open on Sundays? What does that really look like? Mm-hmm. And we haven't fleshed that out yet.
I guess the other side of that coin, though, as you throw out ideas like that, it's, you know, there's so much of our response to COVID has forced unexpected innovation. And so, you know, on one hand, that sounds like a lot to juggle. On the other hand, it sounds like you might lead yourself into offering service to citizens and customers in a way you otherwise wouldn't have done, and they may not otherwise have taken advantage of. So am I too optimistic? Am I too Pollyanna? I've been accused of that, you know, or is there a bright side there?
There is a bright side. And this has forced us to really reexamine our business processes and made it all the more urgent for us to offer services online. So we just recently will be offering in October the ability for folks to renew their driver's licenses online. We didn't have that capability beforehand, but we will. Now we are also looking at offering additional transactions online. We're looking at partnering with vendors to process some of the workload, like for instance, in salvage titles or those kinds of things, to where, you know, looking again for opportunities for people to not have to come to the office and they can do their business online. So we're really trying to get that message out. Along with that, we have tried modernization a couple of times. We've had a couple of swings and a couple of misses. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And, you know, we're really reexamining our approach to that in light of COVID and taking a different approach to the DMV of the future, not being a brick and mortar establishment. But these things take time. Sure. And, you know, but that's really where we need to get to, not only for our customers, but for our staff to be able to also work from home. So that's where we're headed. It's just, we can't get there fast enough.
it's not always the case, especially with transitioning technology, but it's an interesting point about modernization. So much of modernization historically has been about get off of the mainframe and onto .NET. And now modernization really takes in a whole different definition, much more holistic, of contactless interactions with the customer, as well as the ability for your workforce to be more flexible, which may or may not have been in the cards in a modernization conversation.
That's correct. And I think, you know, the way that we, the department approached it before that was very much, let's just keep doing what we're doing and put it in a modern platform. And I want to, and I think we need to turn that on its head and say, forget that. What we need to do is focus on the customer experience and that contactless transaction. And how do we get the customer what they need without them having to physically come to an office? And then how can we accommodate a workforce where that's the model? And that's, it's really exciting to have those possibilities that COVID really, you know, in a way has shown a spotlight on how we have to do things differently.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, absolutely. And how has the workforce responded to that? I mean, again, outside of this very challenging choice of, do I have to choose between my job and caring for my child? But more broadly, how is the workforce adapting to shifting from working in a less traditional way or having to be able to provide at home their infrastructure to do this?
Our largest, we haven't rolled it out really department-wide yet. Our largest contingent of workers in our DMV is our field services personnel, and their jobs just haven't really lended themselves to working at home or remotely. And so we're still trying to flesh some of that out. But I think it does open up some exciting conversations to be had in the future. As to how we could make this work and how we could set up the infrastructure so that those our largest division of folks could handle stuff remotely from home. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it's a work in progress.
Yeah. Well, like you said, it's all a work in progress. Nothing happens as quick as you want it to. And, you know, you mentioned about having really to rethink the way you do things and the DMV of the future. We talked at the beginning about how you have been the job a little bit over a year, but not a stranger to state government. So one of the questions I like to ask folks that are newer to the role is, compare that to me, the view from the outside. Everyone has a view of the DMV, and then you're in there and you're working there for a year, and you know, how the two compare and contrast.
Wow. That's an interesting question. So the extent of what I knew about DMV when I took the job was I register my car every year and I get a driver's license periodically. And that's what I knew. And you go and you sit and you wait forever. And
very common answer. Yeah.
Right. You know, the very common answer. Right. And then I got here and it was truly an eye opener. I didn't realize the complexities with the operation, the number of touch points that the department has. Everybody wants the DMV's data for one reason or another. The number of customers that we touch, the residents. And the department was pleasantly surprised that the number of things that you can do online. But from an outsider's perspective, I think we have not promoted that very well. And so I think that's our big challenge as we move forward as well, is re-educating the public. We've trained them very well over the last few decades that they have to come in the office. You have to come in to get your tag. You have to come in to get your driver's license, and to re-educate them and have them be aware of what the technology is and what they can do, and they don't have to come in. That's a big job in and of itself. So as part of the DMV of the future, we definitely have to include an education component.
Yeah. And I guess that's where the environment right now supports that, in that plenty of people don't want to have to go in places. So I think they're looking for that opportunity to learn that perhaps more than they would have been a year ago.
Yeah, I agree. Timing, again, this while it's been a disease with terrible impacts, on the brighter side, it has forced a lot of creativity, and I think people are going to be much more receptive to not having to come in going forward. So that's right. Been a positive.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Julie, I really want to thank you taking some time out of your day today to chat with us. Like I said, you know, you were one of the first jurisdictions that we heard about talking to their workforce about these impacts of the schools reopening that is just really sweeping really the entire world as everybody figures out what they're doing. And I think, you know, your example of 17 different counties and 17 different variations, all of which are going to probably change 17 times, you know, between school opening and the winter holidays. So wish you luck for you and your team to navigate figuring it out. And we look forward to watching what you and your colleagues really come up with to provide those innovative approaches to delivering services in what not only is unusual times, but may literally be during an unusual time of the day.
Thank you, Ian. It's a pleasure to be here. And I really appreciate all that AMVA does and the supportive community, and happy to share with you and with the rest of the AMVA community as we make some decisions in the future.
Excellent. Well, thank you all for tuning in again. I want to thank our producer, Claire Jeffrey, and we will see you the next time on the AMVAcast.
Thank you for joining us for AMVAcast, hosted by Ian Grossman, produced by Claire Jeffrey, music by Gibson Arthur. This episode has been brought to you by Entrust Data Card. Visit us at amvacast.podbean.com and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify.